Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. It's always nice to kind of refresh a little bit and talk about some of the things that go on within the IHSA. Now, I know it's been all COVID-related here, really, since last March, but there is a bylaw amendment process, and you know this allows member schools to submit proposals. So how it works, should do that, a member school can do that. And currently, town hall, virtual town hall meetings are taking place November 5th through the 18th. The IHSA Legislative Commission reconvenes, I think, November 23rd, and they decide which proposals will make it to the ballot for IHSA member schools to vote November 30th through December the 13th. And one of the proposals that has been submitted is by Mr. Luke Brooks from Pleasant Plains High School in West Central Illinois, eliminating the multiplier waiver for non-boundary schools. So we welcome Mr. Brooks to the WRMJ airwaves. Did I get the bylaw amendment proposal process correct? Long story short, I know kind of wondered. That's how it works. It's up to the member schools, right? That's what's great about that, the IHSA.
Yeah, you got it correct. Each year we have a chance to propose those. They take some straw polls at each of the town hall meetings, and then it goes back to a legislative commission, and you know, they kind of they look at those numbers and see, you know, see which ones need to go up to the board for a vote. So yeah.
So when we talk about the multiplier for non-boundaried schools, basically the multiplier comes into play for those non-boundaried schools that have success in the postseason, whatever the sport is. So basically they have success in regional, sectional, state championship format. They're going to be subject to that 1.65 multiplier. But the issue comes into play, Mr. Luke Brooks, when those parochial schools or those non-boundaried schools do not have success in the postseason, they're not subject to the 1.65 enrollment multiplier. And I know that that's become a hot button topic again for a lot of the public schools, right? Is that kind of the motivation behind this?
Yeah, essentially there's a 1.65 multiplier put on non-boundary schools and across the board, and so they compete. So for example, if you were in 3A in football as a non-boundary school, you would be competing in, you know, in 4A in the postseason, based on that multiplier. However, if you don't have success for a couple years, and there's criteria in there in the bylaws, they have it listed for each sport, then that team, you know, that school is allowed to, you know, they're granted an automatic waiver, which means that for the another 2 year period, the multiplier is not applied to them.
So that allows that non-boundary school kind of to go back and forth. Now, as it relates to football, when you read the IHSA current rules in football only during the 2 year window, if that school wins three games in the IHSA football playoff series, again, that's over a two-year period, they would be subject to the 1.65 multiplier. If they don't win three games, they're not subject to the 1.65 multiplier. And that's kind of the confusing part for, you know, a lot of people trying to follow this issue as it relates to non-boundary schools. So this kind of would provide a little more clarity as well, just to say, hey, you're going to be a 1.65 multiplied school regardless if you win or don't win in the postseason.
Exactly. And I think it's extremely simple. It's clean. It's transparent. When they word it, though, when they talk about elimination of the waiver, when you go through those two pages, you know, with the multiplier, the waiver, eligible classifications, success factors, it can get, just the wording can make it, you know, a little confusing. It's like daylight savings time, you know. And so I just wanted, and I will say this too, we have been in an area where unfortunately we have run into this, you know, quite a bit over the last handful of years. This is my ninth year in Pleasant Plains. You know, I've seen it more than a handful of times for us. And so it's relevant to us, but I have been thinking about this for several years. I actually, reached out to several ADs in central Illinois and southern Illinois, where I'm from, and wanted some feedback. And, you know, there's people who I bounce ideas off, and if they didn't think it was a good idea, I probably wouldn't have moved forward with it. But I ran it by the ADs and principals within our conference. I heard a lot of positive comments about it. It's, I also think that it doesn't penalize a non-boundary school for success within their multiplied enrollment either. So, for example, if you're 4A in football, based on your enrollment, so, like, you know, let's say you have 800 kids, you will compete in 5A because you had the multiplier put on you, and then that's just where you stay. So if you have success in 5A, I don't see any reason for you to be bumped up to 6A. And also, if you don't have success in 5A, I think you just stay in 5A. I mean, the advantage is always there. And that was my biggest argument, and one that I've never really had somebody explain to me, is they put a multiplier on non-boundary schools because they can take students from anywhere. You know, public schools don't have that advantage. So that's the reason for the multiplier. That advantage is always there, regardless of success or not. So I just thought it would be a cleaner, more transparent version across the board to basically say, you have a multiplier applied to you. That's where you will compete in the postseason.
And you mentioned some of the feedback you've already received. And I know, as we talked to you, we're talking to you on November the 11th. And I think these virtual town halls are running through November the 18th around the state. Do you feel pretty good about this kind of getting on the ballot? Now, I know after the town hall process is over on the 18th, the Legislative Commission, they reconvene on the 23rd to decide what issues get to the ballot. Do you think you have a pretty good chance of getting this thing to the ballot for member schools to vote on?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I was a little shocked yesterday. Some of the feedback that I got yesterday, when I talked to somebody who was on one of the legislative commission, was that, you know, people may want to committee this thing. And by that, I mean, they're going to create, you know, should we study this and should we get a committee to study? Well, I know what that means, you know, and so should we get a committee to discuss this, and this? And so I wasn't extremely optimistic after hearing some of that. I don't know that. One caveat to it is there are some smaller schools who I know, have a hard time competing, you know. Not all non-boundary schools are the same, and there are some smaller schools in different parts of the state that operate, whether it's an agricultural school or a math and science academy or different things. And so I had toyed with the idea of putting a low enrollment barrier on there, for example, you know, for schools that are with enrollments over 300, you know, or 250. So I really don't know where it will go. It's one of those things that anytime you start talking about boundary to non-boundary, it gets a lot of emotions can get a little bit high. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's clean. It's easy for the IHSA. People aren't constantly moving up and down. I think for community expectations and coaches, you know, there's other scenarios that you run into in the nuances of certain years. How you do put you up a class for the next couple years, you know, with coaching expectations and changes. You know, somebody may have been right before me and they got to compete in 2A and had a lot of success in basketball. And I'm a new coach and I come in and now I'm in 3A because of their success. And now I can't compete, or, you know, vice versa. So I like it. I think it makes sense, but I understand this process and I know that there will be some people who have differing opinions, and that's okay too.
Yeah, and I know that's why it's a complicated issue when you talk about the non-boundary versus the regular public school. And when you add, you know, the multiplier and the waiver and the success factor, and you know, complicates the whole issue trying to understand, you know, what goes on. Now, I do like the enrollment classification basically set for 2 years, each 2 year period.
Correct.
So yep. I do like that, but you know, just in terms of the math, in the cleanness of the math, of if you're a non-boundary school, you're just going to be subject to the 1.65 multiplier. That's how it works.
Yep.
We're not going to argue with anything else or put any other criteria up in regards to the non-boundary school debate. But as you mentioned, you know, it is... this is a subject that's not going away. Now, I will tell you this. Now... it's funny this year because we're trying to play right now. That's the big issue with COVID and trying to move forward. You know, there hasn't been a lot of attention on these bylaw amendment proposals. And it was funny because yesterday, again, we're talking to you on November 11th. I was just looking at the IHSA page and I'm like, oh, man, the bylaw amendment proposals, what's involved there today? And then I saw a couple that were of interest to me, this one that we're talking about, and then the unsportsmanlike conduct bylaw amendment involving, you know, coaches' ejections. And so I kind of tweeted that out yesterday, that these are two of the more interesting bylaws that you see, and I got some reaction already. With the more reaction I received we call it the public versus private, or the public versus non-boundary, and that's the reaction it always gets. So I guess, long story short, you're not surprised by kind of the reaction you're starting to receive, because this is an issue that's always been debated, right?
Yeah, and where we are, we're around some pretty, we're around some pretty talented, non-boundary schools that we tend to run into quite a bit in the postseason. And to be quite truthful, you know, we have had a lot of success. Pleasant Plains has had a lot of success, so no one is athletically, and I'm very proud of the community and the coaches and the kids in that. And I actually worried a little bit about submitting it, because I thought it might come off a little as, for lack of a better term, kind of whining. And I really didn't want that, because we compete, and we compete with a lot of bigger schools. You know, I don't know how familiar you are with our area around Springfield, but not in football, but in many other sports across the board, we play much larger schools. But being right around Quincy, Notre Dame, Normal, U-High, Sacred Heart, Griffin, three pretty good non-boundary programs across the board. And sometimes, you know, running into those guys when they maybe are dropped down in the postseason, can pose its own challenges. And, I hesitated submitting it for the last couple years, just because I didn't want to, like I said, I didn't want to come across as doing it, you know, just because maybe you got bounced in the postseason. But I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, you know what, it makes sense for our region and for Central Illinois and for a lot of schools around here. I understand that it doesn't make sense in every geographical area across the state, but no bylaw does. And I did take a couple calls from some schools, from some private schools up north. They kind of wanted to know my rationale, and I explained it to them, and also said that they had some, you know, they had some fair points as well about where they were and their clientele and their demographics and geographical regions. But in the end, I think it makes sense. I think it's simple and clean. I think if I were, you know, an admin at the IHSA in terms of calculating where everyone lands on any given year, I would like it for its simplicity.
Well, and again, this is part of the IHSA process, that it is a member-derived organization, and again, through the bylaw process, member schools can submit bylaw amendment proposals, and I'll tell our listening audience, you can see, I think there's 11 submitted this school year.
Yeah.
You can see those at IHSA.org, and you can learn how the bylaw amendment process works, and also you can you can review the how the computation for the multiplier, the waiver, and the success factor all works. I mean, it takes some time to digest all of that because it can be confusing. So it's always good to kind of review that stuff and have a chance to update yourself on that type of interscholastic athletic education. Well, we appreciate the time from Luke Brooks. He's the principal at Pleasant Plains High School in West Central Illinois. Mr. Brooks, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Jim. Take care.
You're listening to WRMJ.